I knew that this was my time to really show people it doesn't matter what goes on in your life. It's not the situation, it's how you handle it.
Straight out the lab. Straight out of there, joined today by somebody you guys and girls may have seen for his incredible transformation. 600 pounds down to doing a bodybuilding show.
What's
the
up,
incredible story that we will be diving into today, Anthony Lopez.
Nice to meet you, man.
Modified the Heavy on Instagram. Pleasure to have you in the studio.
I'm so excited to be here, bro. It's not even like a dream come true because it wasn't on the list. You know what I mean? It was like, it's just insane to be sitting here, to be talking with you and be talking off without the cameras on and stuff like that, getting to know more about you and see everything you guys do. I'm excited. I'm excited to inspire someone, inspire to motivate someone and just tell my story.
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to dive into some deep memories along with what you've achieved recently. As I mentioned, you just competed in a bodybuilding show.
Yeah, October 8th.
Yeah.
Over October 8th, I did a transformation class in Summer Shredding in Texas. Man, so much respect for what you do, bro. I prepped for 9 months. My coach said he didn't care if I was getting on stage for transformation or doing Olympia. So you're going to do it. You're going to do it right. And so it was 9 months of my first move. I just moved to Vegas.
That's right. You're a fellow resident.
Yeah, I live here now.
Welcome to Las Vegas. Yeah, you just found out that.
And then so I moved here officially January. And that's when I started prepping for the show. So I feel like this is my first year now living in Vegas because you know exactly what it is to do prep. It was the eating. It was the cardio. It was lifting. It was everything was to a T. It taught me so much more than I ever thought I'd learn about a weight loss journey.
Yeah,
that was a whole different ballgame. Like losing weight, calorie deficit, working hard is you can't compare it to working to stepping on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the best feeling. It was the best 5 seconds of my life. It felt like 5 seconds.
What show was this?
It was Summer Shredding. So it was a transformation class. So they have a 50 plus and 100 plus of how much weight you lost.
Yeah.
So I've lost about 350 pounds.
That's what I just asked.
Yeah. So it was insane. It was, you know, it's hard to explain. It was surreal. It was like, I took everything in, even though I'm looking at everyone, looking at me, cheering me on, showing my abs. I call it the tit lift because I have a lot of loose skin. So I had to lift my tit, but it's to show my abs, but I have abs. And yes, I do have 4-pack. And even though I'm looking at them, looking at me, like in my head, I was just thinking of everything it took.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like everything flashed like in a like second, like even though I hear the audience, I hear my mom. Hear everyone, my girlfriend's hearing everyone.
Mom is always alone.
But everything was, yes, 100%. But everything was like muzzled in a way. And I just was like, even though I was doing one thing, I was actually focusing on, damn, wow. I can't even explain it. It was just a very surreal to where I got off stage, like I started crying and just took everything in for a second. Like I didn't even talk to my girlfriend or my mom and then for 20 minutes. Like I just want to be by myself. Like it's very, something like came over me where I was like, damn, like this is me now.
You're done.
Like this is what I've done. This is, you know what I mean? Like
you're a bodybuilder.
I know. Yeah. I'm a bodybuilder now.
As I said off air.
Yeah. You called me that. You called me a bodybuilder. I was like, oh, are you sure about that? It's just to really take everything in and to know that my life could have went one way if I, you know, chose it to let it, to keep going that way. And to be able to get on stage and to inspire and to motivate people just by me changing my life around, it made everything I've went through over the last 5 years so much, so worth it.
And what a journey.
Yeah.
That has been.
It's been a complete life change.
Let's talk about the beginnings and how you started the early days of life. Were you always a big kid?
I've been overweight since I came out the womb. Like, honestly, since I came out the womb, I was a big baby. And my mom was a single mom. So fast food was a staple in our household. My whole entire family is overweight. I was the heaviest. I set the bar of that, of the weight of my family, but didn't really know portion control, didn't really have any type of nutrition knowledge. My mom did the best that she could do, but elementary school, heaviest kid, junior high, the heaviest kid, high school, the heaviest kid. Always.
How heavy were you, if you're asking?
I was like, just remember being 200, 300, 400, 500, 600. So,
wow.
Yeah, I was probably well over 100 pounds, probably like 100 and something pounds in elementary school, like by the time I left elementary school. I was definitely about 50 to 60 pounds heavier than the kids in the class.
Were you bullied at all?
Oh, yeah. They called me names. They called me Nutty. They used to, for short, for Nutty Professor. Shout out to all of them. Appreciate that one. You know what I mean? Obviously, when it comes into asking girls to dances in sixth grade, wasn't really the number one pick. Also wasn't the number one pick for dodgeball either. Stuff like that. But I didn't really let it affect me I guess. I was just known for being big AJ, fat AJ, or whatever it might be. But yeah, no, I had my share of people bullying me, a lot of tit slapping, you know what I mean? A lot of making fun of and stuff like that. So my whole entire life, I had to become funny because I knew what you're going to say about me. So I had to already prepare myself to say where I'm going to hit you where it hurts. Because I know I can't call you fat.
You already have fatter than you. Back.
So yeah, I'm ready to go. People always crack up because now on social media, people will make fun of me. Oh, let's do it. So I'll say something back and we'll go back and forth. But it's just all fun. I've been overweight my whole life. So I've been defending myself my whole entire life. Mm-hmm. The first thing people say is that, see, I was overweight. So it's the first thing they go for. They try to punch me in the gut. But after a while, I just use being funny as a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. And then I just act like I was okay with being overweight until I wasn't. And that's when I started my journey.
And let's talk about that moment. What was it that kind of clicked for you that started off this year that got me eyeballs on you?
Yeah, so this is going to be a tough one. I don't talk about this a lot. It just is very difficult too. I'll get this down one day.
You're good, bro.
Okay, I think we're good. Well, no, not yet. It's very difficult. I lost my grandpa to cancer. She was hard. It was hard. All right. So within that 6 months of the doctor giving him to live, dropped everything, stopped working, stopped caring about anything. Me and my girlfriend been in a relationship for 11 years at that time. It was a couple years ago, but at the time it was like 8 years, whatever it was. I didn't care about my relationship. I didn't care about my work. I didn't care about anything. He didn't want a whole bunch of nurses to take care of him and clean him and stuff like that. And he was my best friend. Stopped everything, man. I was like already at that time, like 500, wow. Five something. And I'm not a big drinker, not a big partier, none of that stuff. So food was my coping mechanism. And I'm Mexican and black. So, bro, we nothing but food, man. So you would come over every single day. And the doctor gave him 6 months, but you would think he had till tomorrow the way the food was already sitting there. And we would just eat. And we would just, I'd hang out with them. The sleeping schedule was off. I was very depressed. I hit it. Because I didn't want to be sad in front of him. And all right, during that time, I took care of him, did everything. Me and my uncle, my whole family was there. And it was very difficult to watch someone that was... He was like a hero. And then watch cancer take over him. It was very difficult. Did everything he needed to do. He actually had cancer sticking out of his stomach. So I'm very terrified of like blood for some reason. And every single day, I had no problem, man. No problem cleaning it out. Every single day, like four times a day, did everything, got to hang out with him. He was super funny. It sounds weird. It sounds morbid, but it was funny because, you know, he started taking morphine. So he started, like, saying some weird stuff. But, like, these are the fun memories. Like, I wasn't building new memories with him, man. I've had a whole lifetime memories of him. We would just make sure he was good for the last however months he was here. He ended up passing away. And, like, easily I was there for about 4 months, 4.5 months at my grandma's house, but I stayed there for almost a year. I was there for like 11 months. In that 11 months, I gained over 100 pounds. Like, I was constantly eating. I was just so down. I just was unhappy. I had a lot of questions. This is my second person that I've looked up to. I've lost to cancer. And man, it just put me in this very bad place. I ended up coming home after 11 months. I was staying at my grandma's house. I'm going home. And I was depressed, man. I was depressed. I was suicidal. I was over 600 pounds. I felt like I was done. Like I was done. Like I wanted to give up. Like didn't want to become a burden to my family, and they were going to bury me next if I kept on going. So if they're going to bury me next by my choice of eating, then why not bury me because of my choice of me leaving the earth when I want to? That was in my headspace. That's what I thought of. You know what I mean? Because now I feel like it's hard to walk upstairs. It's hard to put my own shoes. My girl's putting my socks on for me. That's heartbreaking as it is. Oh, sorry. Was that me?
That was me coming from my iPod.
Oh, okay.
Apologies.
Life was just, it was just being coming too much, man. It wasn't even fun anymore. You know what I mean? I was done. I had so many masks put it up and I had to get it together. But my sister, she has a learning disability. So I had a dream one time and I had a dream. This was like literally before I started getting everything together. I had a dream though. I was in the hospital. So I felt like I was in my deathbed. It was a dream. And my sister was at the end and I was thinking in my head, wait, where's everyone at? And I was thinking like, fuck, if I'm about to die, who's going to watch my sister? She has a learning disability. And the next day I woke up, man, and I called someone who I knew owned a gym, and I started working, bro. Like, I wasn't ready to go. My grandpa taught me something before he left, is that life is too short. It doesn't matter how much you messed up. It's your choice to fix it. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, like, my cancer was eating. My cancer was obesity. My cancer was not portion control. No, lack of discipline, lack of consistency. That was my cancer. But his cancer, he couldn't get rid of. My cancer, I could. It just was going to take a lot of fucking work. A lot of work. 5 years of it. You know what I mean? And that's what started the journey. I lost well over 100 pounds, and I was looking into the gastric sleeve, and I decided that was going to be the best thing for me. Because even though I've lost over 100 pounds, I was 650, say still at 550. Any day I could have woken up, any day I could have not woken up. You know what I mean? And it was time for me just to continue chasing my life around. That's what I did. And fast forward, I decided that if I was going to do this, I was going to do this right. I was going to build a body that I wanted in junior high. Like, I want all the girls to like it, stuff like that. Yeah, that's not my heaviest, man.
That wasn't
your heaviest. That's not my heaviest right there. That's, you know what I mean? My heaviest, I think, was like around like the airplane photo the video one is actually where probably you have my heaviest. One of them right there. You know what I mean? And I have my tattoo right there. But yeah, that right there is around 650 pounds right there.
You could see that.
I was miserable.
You were even struggling.
I was miserable, man. I was, like, even my smiles, if you look at it now and you could look at one of my smiles from this podcast, you could just see how fake that thing is. You know what I mean? Like, you're not happy at that size, man. You're not happy at all.
You mentioned, obviously, you couldn't put your shoes under your socks.
No.
What other things were you struggling with?
Everything. Wiping my ass was difficult. Putting my shoes, my socks on, walking upstairs, fitting in a car. There's no seat. I was wearing no seatbelts because I couldn't put a seatbelt on.
Wow.
You know, I drove a Jeep. And I literally broke the center console because my thighs were so big. And when I get in, I would scoot to the side. So I broke the center console. You know what I mean? I don't know what we talk about here, but sex is difficult too at that way. If anyone ever, a lot of things, normal day-to-day lifestyle was difficult. And there was no such thing as flying at that size anymore. Not comfortably. Everything that we do want to, just to be a normal human being, it was becoming harder and harder to the point where there's why even do it. Hygiene sucks. Right? Because you have no discipline to work on yourself. Who cares about brushing your teeth? You know what I mean? So it's just a lot of things that went against how I was raised. I was now accepting as my lifestyle now because of my bad choice of eating.
Wow. So that was 600 pounds. You decided then to drive yourself to the gym.
Yeah.
First couple of weeks in the gym, obviously I know you said for a whole year prior to getting the gastric bypass.
The sleeve, yeah.
The sleeve. You lost 100 pounds.
Yeah, over 100 pounds, like 115.
So talk us
and
through.
Like, that was like, honestly, I did that in four or five months.
Yeah.
Because when you're that heavy, your body doesn't want to be that big.
Yeah.
I could be in a slight 500 calorie deficit every single day. I was eating almost 10,000 calories. And I know that for a fact because when we sat down and we tracked all the food I was eating around that time, my grandpa was sick and it came out to 10,000 calories.
Wow.
From McDonald's breakfast, the number one extra burger with two hash browns and a large drink, like all that stuff, man. It came out to 10,000 calories.
Every day.
Pretty much, I would, maybe some days was six.
Yeah.
Right. But realistically, most part, we'll say, yeah, it was 10. I mean, because I was out of control, man. Like, I was hurt. Like, it's still hard for me to talk about that. Like, it's very difficult. And hopefully one day it becomes easier to speak about. But there's a lot of emotion behind that story because that's what got me to get here. So not only did I lose my best friend, but then I changed my life because of it. So it's not just losing my grandpa. It's like the start of someone new. Like, I lost someone I love, but I gained also someone who I loved.
And there's a photo of you and your grandfather.
Yeah,
How old were you there?
I was probably like, I don't know, was that like five or six?
The boat?
Maybe on the boat, yeah. It's like, probably like six. Look at that. I got titties there too.
Man.
Yeah, man.
That's but like, you're loving life.
Loving life,
best
man.
Friends,
oh, that was, no, man. Everything. Like, all my memories have my grandparents in it, my mom, my grandparents in it. But that was hard, dude. It's still hard. And it's been since 2018, like the tattoo, but it feels like it was yesterday. But there's just so much emotion behind that. Like, that was my buddy. That was my rock.
I know losing any loved one is tough, but how do you think your grandfather now would react to seeing you and what you've gone through?
He'd be happy. He used to always tell me, and I used to get so pissed off, but it makes so much sense. He's like, mijo, I was like, you gotta be honest. You eat two people, you're going to look like two people. I was like, shit, grandpa, then I guess I ate four, huh? You know what I mean? But he always wanted to get my life together. And they always say, don't have any regrets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't really believe in that because the one regret, I do have regret, and it's not doing this earlier to show him that I was going to get it done.
But listen, that's a story, right? I think everybody can have the woulda, shoulda, coulda. We spoke off air, the Mr. Olympia and the decision I faced by continuing on and not being happy if I gone that route for selfish reasons. But then in your case, for whatever reason, if you hadn't done the route you've gone, maybe you wouldn't have stuck to the transformation you've gone through.
That's very true.
Trauma powers.
That,
you know,
made me so much stronger. That I got to say that that is that for, I would say the whole year, but from getting the news until everything, you know, I moved back home and I went through my own depression. Now, I'm not sort of like clinically depressed. Not that. I went through my own version of, I was depressed, but I'm not a depressed person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? By the time I was, but everything I've had went through, that made me stronger as a human. And that really taught me a lot about myself, and it taught me what I could really put my mind through. And this was before the journey, right? This was just what I was trying to take. I was trying to find some type of positive, right? Because it's a very negative situation. And if I found, if now as I speak and I talk about the stories now, it's if you can find positive in any situation, you're always going to win. And it's very difficult. Sometimes you got to squint, right? But if I didn't go through that, if I didn't go through my depression, if I didn't go through losing my grandpa, if I didn't go through obesity, then I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today. And how crazy this is that I went through my own version of depression. Before I started with losing weight, I didn't believe in depression. I'm like, what are you depressed about? You're not as big as me. What are you depressed about? You're just being a wimp. You're just whatever it might be, right? Fast forward, I went through my depression. I started working on myself. About a year and a half later, my best friend started going through depression. I was there to help him through it. So I feel like everything happens for a reason. You just really have to pay attention to the bigger picture and not just focus on all the negativity. Because that's all we do is we focus on the negative of everything. And sometimes you just need to squint to just find the positive. What did you learn from it? What did you take from it? Did you fail? Okay, that's fine. What did you learn from that? Because then you didn't fail if you learned from it.
I know that you have a big training online platform along with helping so many different people, but I don't want to get into that just yet. You mentioned, obviously, you've helping your friends and stuff, but I want to put a pin in that. I want to take us back to that first week in the gym and what you went through emotionally, mentally, physically. Was there any pushback? Were members rough to you?
Bro, yeah. I was mentally beat up. I was emotionally beat up. I had no faith in myself. I've only did like maybe 8 minutes of the boxing class. So at that weight, there's not a lot of machines you can use. If anything, there's not machines you can use. And the machines that you can use at over 600 pounds, you can't really use them because you're too wide, right? Like, I was too wide. So try to go bench press, but I'm wide. So I have to be downright. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So at that weight, I was just all boxing, shadow boxing and boxing classes and dumbbells. You mean that was it? That was all I was doing. But yeah, I ended up going to a gym to someone that I graduated high school with owned.
Okay.
So for the first time in, say, 2 years, right? For some people, 2 years, they've never seen me. So they walk in, oh, AJ, but it's really not like big eye open. Oh, AJ, it's more of a, oh, fuck.
You put weight
like
on.
You put, yeah, and that's the heaviest I've ever, like, it's not normal to see a 600 pound plus pound person, you know, it's really not. No. In the gym, at least.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, what I was going through mentally was so much. I'm going to fail again. Is this going to be my last time? You know what I mean? And people are looking at me. People are making fun of me. I couldn't even do, you at that weight, you couldn't even do a treadmill because you're so heavy. Mm. When the treadmill is going towards you and you walk, you're so heavy, you slide it forward. So it makes like a zzz sound.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So I just did it. I was embarrassed. There's been plenty of times where I got out of the training, boxing class and stuff like that, and I would just cry. You know what I mean? Because I just felt, I'm like, I was the odd one out there. You know what I mean? But also at the same time, I was tired of being the odd one out. Mm. I was tired of being the biggest person in the room. I was tired of being the center of attention of what not to do with your life. You know what I mean? So as much as I was feeling a certain way about myself, I gotta be honest and say this is the last time I'm ever gonna look that way. So that every single day I woke up, I was like, this is the last time I'm gonna look like this. This is the last time I'm gonna feel like this. This is the last time I'm gonna look like this. And I still tell myself this now. I didn't stop. I've been doing it for 5+ years now. It's the last time I'm gonna look like this. It's the last time I'm gonna feel like this. And I just kept going. But mentally, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. And my joints hurt. At that weight, you have to go through pain in order to fix yourself. Because think about it, you have 600 pounds on your joints. Mm-hmm. I'm punching, I'm throwing stuff. I mean, I'm throwing punches, I'm flipping tires. When I got to the point of doing that, my joints, my legs, I got to the point where Francine would have to like massage my legs for 20 minutes before I got out of bed. You know what I mean? So it's like I had to hurt myself. Technically, it wasn't really called hurt. I would say like sore and stuff like that. But I had to go through pain just in order to lose weight.
That must be very mentally tough for you to be like, wow, I wasn't in this much pain when I was my biggest.
No, I never had back problems, leg problems, knee problems. The worst thing, I was a pre-diabetic. I had a big black on my forehead, and it was knowing I was pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. But other than that, no, I didn't. Wasn't I was always tired. I was always out of shape. But I wasn't in pain. But it's
I had to go through pain to become a warrior. You know what I mean? Honestly.
So how long was the fastest weight drop for you? And then to get to that full year, you said you lost 100, right?
Yeah. To get, when I had the surgery?
Yeah.
It was, about four or five months it took me to lose over 100. And I went to have the surgery. I went to Mexico. I ended up going with the gastric sleeve. I didn't want the other one because I didn't want to take vitamins and stuff like that. Plus my age, I was young. I was just in my 20s. So therefore, I decided to get that done. I learned everything about it.
Can you explain what the gastric sleeve is?
So the gastric sleeve will takes your stomach about 100% and brings it down to about 30 or 40, depends on whatever they do. And what that does is that it restricts you from eating so much. You still can eat whatever you want, but it restricts you, right?
You fill up faster.
They fill up a lot faster. Yeah. And so looking there, I did my research for a couple months while I was dropping the weight and getting prepared for it and stuff like that. I wanted to take this serious. So I started learning nutrition. I started learning about portion control. I started learning about tracking your food, everything like that, because I was going to be successful. I didn't have insurance at the time, so they came out of cash. I was out of pocket. It's $5,800. And
you went to Mexico.
I went to Mexico and went to TJ for it. And honestly, one of the best tools you ever could get. Now, fast forward about a year into, 8 months to a year, I decided that obviously it being such a big deficit, I was not getting muscle. I was more of loose skin than anything, but that's well part of it. Over 600 pounds, there's no avoiding loose skin.
Yeah.
And I decided I want to go a different route. I was working nutrition. I was taking YouTube classes. I was going to YouTube school.
Really?
Because I didn't want to go back anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I've already lost 100 pounds. During COVID, my TikTok went crazy. Like, I think the video now has 180 million views or 108 million views. And that's when I started posting my journey on there and stuff like that. And I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to let my family down. I didn't want to let my grandpa down. I didn't want to let my girlfriend down. I didn't want to let myself down. I didn't want my brothers and sisters down. You know what I mean? So I didn't want to fail. Fast forward, I had the surgery, obviously in a very big calorie deficit, learning nutrition. I decided that I wanted to put on muscle. I decided that it wasn't going to be possible with eating 900 calories a day. So I decided to eat more. And I knew that I was going to be able to stick to this because I built discipline, right? But I also knew there's a certain look I wanted to go for. And so my trainer at the time was like, well, look, if you want to put on muscle, you're not eating enough. There's no way you're going to be eating 30, 40 grams of protein a day and put muscle on. And so I made a decision to start eating more and stretch my stomach out over time. Now I can eat what I want. Literally, it's been proven a couple times already. You know what I mean? I can eat what I want. But it was a great tool for me because at the end of the day, I needed something that was going to help me with portion control because so many years I didn't do it. And with the knowledge from YouTube, like everything you need to be successful is out there already. You already know what you need to be successful. Everything was out there for you. Everything is out there for us to be successful. The hardest thing, I think, is like us taking action in it. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to listen to this story and be motivated, but only 1% is going to take action.
How do you get though to the point of actually going for the gastric sleeve?
I needed help. I was so scared of dying. When you go from depression to suicidal and you dig yourself out of that hole, right? No medicine, no anything. I just kept lying to myself that I'm going to do this, right? Once you do that, even though I was still over 600 pounds, I started to cherish life a lot more. Mm-hmm. The fact that I was possibly could have not been here today. The fact that I was ready. I had a game plan on what I was going to do. This wasn't just a talk. This is not just social media. Let me post this for the views and stuff. I was ready to go. I felt like I was just a nuisance to my family. I was getting worse and worse. I didn't know where to start. I was at the lowest of low. And when you think of low, I was lower than that in my own personal head. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I had to lose over 300 pounds to look like a normal human being. I walked through a door with a slant because I was so big. When you go through your version of rock bottom and then you dig yourself out of that hole, I started to respect life a lot more. Does that make sense? I really cherished everything, even though I was miserable at the weight I was at. I was like, you know what? Like, I got brothers. I'm like, my grandpa's gone. I have a girlfriend. I have a mom. My family members look up to me. Like, I need to get it together.
So you started looking at what you have and what you don't have.
Exactly. I started focusing on things I could change and not things I couldn't. Because we'll spend our whole entire life focusing on things we can't fix because it's easier to focus on things that you can't fix. Because the things you can fix is up to you to get together. Mm-hmm. The things you can't fix, you complain about it all day. It's never going to change. Right? So now I was like, you know what? This is going to be a good tool. This is going to be what I need. This is it. So I met with the doctors and no one approved it in my family. No one wanted me to do it. But I wasn't asking for anyone's opinion. I got it done. But I made sure that I was going to learn everything about my body, everything about nutrition that I can so I could be successful.
Obviously, all the scare stories about going over the border to get various operations. Like, how did you eliminate that from all these horror stories you're going over to Tijuana and stuff?
Think about it. I was ready to take my own life. So if I was going to die on the table trying to fix myself, then that's what the, that's what God had written, written for me. You like, ready. Honestly, I was ready. Like, that's just how I looked at it. What about this? What? I didn't, so no one knew that I was suicidal until they heard Andy's podcast.
Wow.
My whole family didn't know. My, no one knew. No one knew. It was just me. And I could have talked to him, but I was more like embarrassed. Like, I had a very blessed life. I had an amazing mom, grandparents, family, relationship. And for me to be that low to just be able to want to take my life, I was embarrassed.
Were you using humor as a crutch to get you through a lot of these situations too? And
say it again.
Were you using humor and
oh yeah,
comedy to get you through all this?
100%.
Yeah.
Laugh it off. It's all right. Just a whole bunch of Band-Aids, man. I had so many Band-Aids to wear. I was just embarrassed. There's so many people now looking at it from talking to old version of Anthony Lopez about, or the new version to about the old. I had so much positive in my life that, like, I was just like, I was embarrassed to tell anyone of what I was going through mentally. And I just had to dig myself out of that hole. So the only way I could do it is keep on smiling, keep on working. And as I kept on working on myself, I started believing myself more. You know what I mean? And once I obviously made the decision to go get the surgery, like I said, what was the worst that was going to happen? I was ready to take my own life. So if I'm going to pass away on the table for trying to fix myself and use a tool to become better, then that's the book that was written for me already a long time ago.
Wow.
But shit, man. Yeah.
You're good, bro.
Yeah, man. This is, I haven't talked about a lot of this stuff. I'm going to talk about this on my own podcast. But well, it's difficult, man. You know what I mean? It's hard to explain, man. It just, there's a lot of emotion. You know what I mean? Good and bad, but at the end of the day, good, because I got to learn from all this stuff.
Yeah, and your journey,
it made me look where I'm at right now.
That's what I was just about to say. Your journey of where you started and going through all this, there's been so many different chapters. And more than anything else, I think you are the poster boy of never giving up.
No, don't. Like, honestly, like, I don't care if you're trying to lose weight, gain weight, put on size, put on muscle, get abs. Don't give up. You're the only person that's going to stop you from being successful, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's not, I'm not successful because of my parents. Who gives a shit if your parents are not successful? You don't have to live like them. If your parents are overweight, you don't have to be overweight. If your parents are broke, you don't have to be broke, right? Like, you just need to be put in the work that's going to help you become the version of yourself and stop talking about it. Because that's all I did my whole entire life. This whole entire life, as we're talking about just weight loss, I've only had two real jobs in my life. Two real jobs. I worked at Skate Depot, and I got a check from them. I said I made more money for my grandma mowing the lawn, so I quit that job. And I was a manager at a vape store. Other than that, I've owned my own businesses. We had a taco business, a mini pancake business, this whole entire time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And none of that changed because I had to work on myself. It didn't get easier because I decided to lose weight. Like, I still had to go through normal life stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To the point where even through the bodybuilding show. And the bodybuilding show... This is crazy because I don't know if you feel this way, but my boy Big John told me, bro, every time I did a bodybuilding show, something in the middle of prep happened where it's just like, what the actual?
Every show?
Okay.
Every show is a storyline with me.
Okay. So I got a storyline for my own storyline then. I get a call about 3 months before my bodybuilding show from my grandma.
Two
months before my bodybuilding show for my grandma. It's 11 something at night, bro. She lives in California. I live in Vegas. There's no reason for her calling me. She's asleep by 7. You know what I mean? And she's crying. And she tells me, your dad was murdered.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, what? Like, I freaked out. Now, I got to be honest. I wasn't the closest with him, but I'm close with my grandma, with his mom. And that was us. I started crying. I started panicking because, like, I'm 4 hours away from my grandma. Mm-hmm. I'm the only family member she has out there. So I was like, we got to go. So I'm like freaking out, panicking. I still have Zoom calls booked for the next day. So I had to send a message on my client saying, letting know what happened. And thank God for my girlfriend, man. She's like, you know what? Just go shower and we'll get it together. Like, well, you're okay. Just go get it. So I remember just crying in the shower. Just what the hell? What's next? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? Just everywhere. So I'm calling my grandma again and check up on her. Because obviously I don't want to cry. Let her know I was crying. And so during 2 months before a bodybuilding show, I end up being in California for a whole month while I'm prep, away from my house, away from my normal day cardio and stuff like that. And on top of that, my father was stabbed to death.
And going through this time right now, and it's crazy from, like I said, losing my grandpa made me stronger. Going through the weight loss journey made me stronger. Seeing all the negative comments made me stronger. Seeing all the positive comments made me stronger. I knew that this was my time to really show people it doesn't matter what goes on in your life. It's not the situation, it's how you handle it. And I know the old version of myself would have had that to use as an excuse and started to eat when I want, not do the bodybuilding show. Everyone understand. Mm-hmm. Right now, I had not only do I have a funeral to plan for my dad, but I have to be there for my grandma. On top of that, now we have a whole bunch of court dates because now for the next 5 years pretty much. You know what I mean? And I looked at my girlfriend and I looked at her and I was like, I'm not doing this bodybuilding show. I was like, I'm going to tell you right now, we haven't made it to California yet. And I tell her, I'm not doing this bodybuilding show. I was like, this is a test. And I'm going to pass this, and I'm going to do this show, and I'm going to still work. I'm going to take a couple of days off, and I still had a group Zoom call with all my clients. Mm-hmm. They're at shock. But I was like, you know what? This is my time to show people. It doesn't matter what goes on. Like, life does not stop and get easier for you because you're becoming better. Life is still going to go. You're going to have family problems, relationship problems, regular problems, health problems, whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? But it's still up to you to stick to who you need to become, and you got to shovel through that stuff. You know what I mean? And that was very difficult. Decision for me to make, but I knew it was the right decision. And I kept prepping for the bodybuilding show. Like, I talked about it. I didn't talk about it a lot on social media. This is actually the first time I brought it up. I brought it up for a second on my own, the podcast. That's it. But, you know, to me, it's just what's actually stopping you now. What are you using for excuse? What's your excuse?
Well, when we spoke about situations happening, no, I've not gone through anything like that. That is a massive blow to anybody, regardless how close you are to your dad. Still, that is terrifying to hear.
You see it on TV. People pass away. People die all the time. But it's very weird because I wasn't the closest with him, but nothing feels more uncomfortable knowing that his life was taken away from someone else's hands, and now that never gave me the opportunity to say what I needed to say. Mm.
What would you say if you had the chance?
I got to be honest. It would probably be, I forgive him. Because the thing that stung the most about that was that before my grandma always said, before I pass away, I want you guys to be good. And I always promised her we would. I promised her. And I keep my promises. I don't ever hate him. I didn't hate him at all. My family raised me correctly. You don't hate anybody. You need to be. Everyone has a good in them. Sometimes it just takes a little longer for them to come out. And that's like the one that stings the most. Because now her last wish, she's still here, obviously. Her last wish was taken away from some asshole decided that, you know, stabbing someone was good that day. You know what I mean? So that's where it stings the most.
I know that, I don't know obviously the issues and you know, what transcended, but I'm sure if your dad know, can see you and you're going through that transformation and where we are today, I'm sure that he's looking down and he's proud of you. Yeah. Along with your grandfather.
Got a couple angels up there now.
Absolutely, my man.
Yeah, man. So going through this stuff and the emotion behind it just making me stronger. Like, I know I'm sitting here crying, but crying doesn't make you weak. It just, this is what I do now. You know what I mean? Like, this shit is like what gets me fighting every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't ever want to go back to that actual miserable life I was living. A restricted life. There's not a lot you could do. Even at 400 pounds, you can't skydive. You're very uncomfortable. You could dirt bike ride, but a lot of things that I do now, I couldn't do. Snowboard every weekend, a dirt bike ride, a mountain bike ride.
I was just about to say, if you could look at his social media, if you are not following him, heavy
two modified. T-O, yeah, heavy two modified.
I'm going to put that in the link below, but this guy is on dirt bikes. He's riding mountain bikes.
Yep, I'm everywhere, man.
he's doing more stuff than me.
Because I just took all that stuff for granted, man. And that's all stuff I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I didn't change who I was because I lost weight. I started to do who I wanted to. I started to do what I actually wanted to do in my whole entire life that I just wasn't willing to work for it.
Because I seen a couple of clips that you posted that you'd go on vacation sometimes your friends and you wouldn't be able to do some of the things because of your weight.
I couldn't do any of them. I couldn't do it. On top of that, the photo that you guys have of me in the airplane, if you notice, there's the armrest that's up halfway. It was supposed to go all the way up, but it didn't. So I was traveling for 6 hours, very uncomfortable. But I wasn't mad at anyone.
This one?
Yeah. There's an armrest where my elbow's at and it's driving into my... I had a bruise on the side of my moobs, my man tits over here, for 3 days, right? And I was... You know one thing, though? And it's like something I want to bring up. It might be off topic, but really on topic is like... I blame no one there. People blame the airlines for that shit. I blame myself. The insecurities I had on that plane was not the airline's fault. It was myself. And that person there was not happy. That person was not comfortable. But that person brought everything on himself. It took accountability to change that person's life.
I'm sure when you were aboard in the airplane, everybody was like, oh my gosh.
No, I got on first. We paid the extra to get on first. Okay. Oh my gosh, man. It's so embarrassing. Airplanes are already difficult, right? So when you're walking down, I'm walking down the hall or when I'm down the aisle, I'm going like rocking back and forth. There's no way. So we paid to get on first. It was very degrading, but it was no one's fault but mine.
You got so much fuel to your fire, my man.
Man, I'm hungry, man. The right way.
Listen, to put yourself through a bodybuilding prep, just changing the tone here. I know what mentally I have to switch to do that. Weight transformations in itself are difficult, and that's how you and I started speaking. Just seeing what you've done and what you've achieved from your biggest weight to before stepping on a bodybuilding stage.
Yeah.
But then, so to tell the story of how we connected, I was flying back from the UK where I spent Christmas with my family, and I was going through my Instagram feed, and as I said off air, you've popped up on my feed a few times, just the transformation stuff, maybe, you know, Instagram talking about you or whatever the story is, see this guy to this, but at that point in time you hadn't done a bodybuilding show. It was just the incredible transformation of you being in the gym, working out, and in fact I'd seen you at the Dragon's Lair training. I was like, wow, I seen your Instagram page on this particular Explore. I don't even think it was your page. And I went and done a deep dive.
Okay.
And scrolling through, I started seeing some incredible photos, some transformations from your biggest, some of the photos that we've already put up on the screen and some videos that we'll probably post in post. But I then seen something that really hit home, and that was you on stage. I was like, wow.
Man.
This guy. And I instantaneously then hit you up.
That was crazy. So yeah. I was with my best friend and her boyfriend's down from New York, and I was like shocked. My girlfriend thought I got a bad text, and I just showed her. I was like, it was insane. It's insane. But it's just proof. How do I put this in words? This conversation we're having right now is because I kept working on myself, right? Like I lost the weight. That was good. Right, you loved it, you probably seen it, you're proud of me. But then I kept pushing, I wanted more for myself. I stepped on stage and now it put me here. Like there's always something you could do better, and you could keep pushing yourself to be the next best version of yourself, next best version of yourself. That's why I keep going. Right, like I don't know anyone that's gave something 100% has never been successful.
Absolutely.
I mean, at one point in my life, I was driving Uber. Between me and my girlfriend, we probably had no more than $200 in our bank account. We were both overweight. We're both depressed in our own ways. And now I'm here and I get to help people and I get to share my story, and I have people that not only look up to me, but look to me for advice. And my life changed because I was willing to put in the work. Absolutely. And I'm no different than anyone. I just shared my story about that, of losing family members, losing my own dad, being made fun of, bullied, nicknames, girls making fun of me, guys making fun of me. Like, I'm no different. The only thing is that I decided to take action. The only reason why I'm sitting here is because I took action on the things that I needed to do to become the best version of myself. And I'm not even done. But at the end of the day, I'm not stopping. I don't know what I'm going to do next. I know what I'm doing next.
I can see what you're going to be doing next. And that's inspiring many people, including myself, is why I reached out. For me, I've got an abundance of different friends and in different circles. And I love transformations. People who have literally changed their lives. I love weight transformations. And then to see you going from, like I said, that picture of your heaviest to then hitting the stage, hit you up. Then I found out you were a Vegas resident. I actually didn't find that out after the fact. I invited you to the podcast. I was like, bro, we have got to get you on the podcast.
I was like, I'm like 7 miles away.
Where do you live in? He was like, I moved to Vegas. So I was like, okay, bro, this is meant to be. But we've also referenced several times during this podcast, I think, somebody that's been the backbone to your transformation, and this is your lovely wife, girlfriend. We'll say wifey, okay?
Yeah, well, wife. It's wifey, yeah.
But she has also been on her own transformation. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
And she didn't know that she was going to have a camera.
No.
But when we started talking off air, and we started talking about how much weight she's lost, I was like, me and Tyus, the producer, said, listen, we've got to put you on air. So I know you're coming all the way from the Amazon jungle over there. And for people who are listening on Spotify, she's sitting in front of our newest studio with a jungle background. But welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. having me. This is cool.
Yeah, absolutely. But you have been on your own transformation. Obviously, you guys have kept each other accountable.
Yes.
How much weight have you lost to this day?
Close to 130.
Incredible. How big were you at your heaviest?
318 was the last recorded weight.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. What has been the struggles for you personally?
Mentally. My relationship with food has always been unhealthy. And I didn't realize that because that's just how I was born. Like, not born, but how I was raised. So that was normal to me.
Mm-hmm.
So realizing that I had to pay attention of when the hunger was coming, where I'm really stressed, I'm not really hungry.
Mm.
I'm bored, I'm not hungry. I'm sad, I'm not hungry. Learning to really pay attention to your hunger cues instead of being, oh, I'm hungry, or because I'm bored, or because I'm watching TV. That's been very hard, but I'm getting there.
I think you're far from getting there. You're still struggle.
It's still a struggle every day.
There's struggles in everything you do in life, but it's how you're able to realize that and get your head around certain things. Even for myself, in everybody, there's not a person on this earth that doesn't have struggles, whether it's with food, whether it's with whatever it is.
Yeah.
You have already conquered knowing the fact that something now is triggering the fact you want to eat.
Yeah.
And you've already got ahead of that. Did you guys start your transformation together, or was he in front of you?
No, actually, I started mine because he was already down maybe 150, 175.
Wow.
And as a joke, he put on my pajama pants, and they fit him. And this was right before the pandemic.
Okay.
Then we got shut down. And I said, I don't care. I'm going to go get surgery too. I've never had surgery a day in my life. But because he was, and I was proud of him, but in a sense, I was a little jealous. But I couldn't really put the words together in my mind. But I said, I don't care. I'm going to go get surgery. And then I looked up his doctor. I paid what I needed to pay. And he's like, you're crazy. Like, we're shut down. And they canceled my surgery. And I said, I don't care. And I said, and I would send an email every single day.
Bro, she
relentless.
Yeah, no, she was.
I could have applied it to better things, but no, I was relentless here. You need to book my surgery. I think July, they said, okay, they responded, we can get you in the hospital, even though all elective surgeries are against the law right now.
Yeah.
But you have to come by yourself. And again, that's in Mexico also.
Psych.
And I said, okay, I'm coming. And I told him, hey, on the 17th of a week from now, I'm getting surgery. And but I hadn't told him it was going to be by myself. And I'm like, oh, also, you can't even enter the hospital. And he's absolutely not.
Mm.
So we had to pull some strings. And they're like, okay, he's coming. Okay, but you can't post about it, but we'll let him in. And it could have been bad. Thankfully, everything went great, but I was negligent. I was playing with my life.
But at that point in time, you were just all in for our life change, having seen what he done.
I was desperate.
Yeah, we have a different side of it. I think that's what makes this relationship so unique, is that we have two different stories about weight loss. We have the outcome is the same. But how we started is completely different.
Yeah, I was supposed to go on this. There's a pre-op diet that you have to do before you do the surgery. For mine was 2 weeks where you have to eat a certain, it's an actual diet. 4 days before, only clear liquids. I was so negligent that I didn't even listen to that. I only did clear liquids the last day. But I didn't care. I'm like, I need the surgery because that's going to fix everything for me. That's going to be the magical pill because it's the easy way out because that's what I was going for and it sold me. But it's painful truth that it's very hard. Even after you have surgery, the first couple months, it's a breeze physically because you get full with anything. But mentally, you're still very hungry. So you're going to push those limits.
Mm.
So after about, I want to say 6 months, I started gaining weight.
You stretch your stomach out?
Not necessarily, because even though, say, you're able to eat half a cup of something, I could still eat a half a cup of something every 30 minutes if I wanted to.
Oh.
So the frequency you can have, even though the amount in that moment is still restricted.
then a lot of high processed stuff compared to protein. Because, you know, what they do is, like, when you have the surgery, they like to steer away from protein because it takes a while their stomach. So they go to what's called a slider food. So, like, chips,
popcorn,
like, candy. Cheese, candy, stuff like that. They rather have that because that's more fulfilling for them mentally than it is for the taking up a lot of space in their stomach. But
wow.
You can have four big handfuls of Cheez-Its and only take up this much space in your stomach. You know what I mean? Or chips or whatever. Or you go to get a McDonald's cheeseburger and cut it in half and eat half of it and the other half later.
And I was doing that.
And that's what she was doing. And I didn't find out about this until we started talking more about this. Because think about it. I've been overweight my whole entire life. She's been overweight her entire life. So when we got together, we were both two unhealthy people making it work, right? So we built a relationship off of food. That was our date nights were around food. We didn't go laser tag on our date nights. We went to restaurants, right? Uber Eats.
All you can eat restaurants.
Korean barbecue 3 times a week. We were broke, but we were at Korean barbecue 3 times a week. That's $60 every single time we went. But we were broke. We didn't have money, right? And so fast forward of her having the surgery, we had to retrain her. We had to relearn if we even worked for each other, if we even liked each other, if we even knew if we got along. Because food was energy for me. And then she had to hop on the bandwagon of, wait, you're right. Dude, what do we have in common? What do we do? So our date nights aren't just dinner, like our dinners and fast food. It's ghost stuff. We do amusement parks now because we can ride on stuff like that now. But there was a relationship, a hard conversation that we talked about that I had to have with her, is because at one point she started to go back into her old ways because she thought she thought her surgery was a fix all. And I warned her. I told her so much, like, you need to learn. Like, I know you don't want to listen to me, so just here's the YouTube videos I watch. I saved a whole history of them. Watch this, do this. She's like, no, I got it. I was like, all right, whatever it might be. So fast forward about a couple months after surgery, maybe about 6 months, 7 months.
Yeah.
I had to sit down with her. I'm like, look it. This is after my social media. I've done some cool things, right, for weight loss and stuff like that. No muscles yet. And I said, hey, this is a brand that we're growing. And this is, you know, now a lifestyle for me. And I want to continue doing this. And I don't ever want to go back to being to where I was like, I'm not going to force you to change who you are. I want you to want this. I was like, but if you don't want to be healthy, if you want to eat hot Cheetos and eat fast food, I'm not going to judge you. Like, that's what you deserve to be happy. Like, I deserve to be happy. But if that's what you want, then we're not going to work out anymore.
You know, nutrition and plays a critical role.
Yes.
In everything.
And everything.
How hard and challenging was it for both of you guys after surgery? Obviously, you've said tidbits, but you went back to eating somewhat similar lifestyle.
Yeah.
When you converted over to more portion sizes, and did you see and did you feel instantaneous? Was there anything that hit home by cleaning up your diet and not eating the way you used to eat?
Yes, the energy levels is the biggest thing. Energy and also sleeping is better. Like, the quality of life is just better. It's just hard to explain because it's like minute little things that you really have to pay attention to. Oh, shoot. Like, even going upstairs, same weight, but if I'm eating bad for a couple days and I'm still the same weight, but then I clean it up, even just walking upstairs, I'm not like, whew.
Out of breath.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That stuff is horrible. You know what I mean? Fast food is just, I don't know we know what's in it. It's a whole bunch of crap, right?
Yeah.
But I could go 2 weeks
and
without.
And it affects our mood.
Oh, 100%. I could go 2 weeks of not following my plan, but eating homemade stuff, right? High protein, make my homemade pizza, whatever it is. Yeah. But once I have fast food for a couple of days, like even 3 times, like my weight goes up 10 pounds. I have a lot of loose skin, so I do hold a lot more water. But my weight will go up 10, 15 pounds. If I go 2 weeks, not go up anything. Once I bring fast food in, it goes up. So that's what we're feeding ourselves. And people do that. We were doing that every day. Every single day we would eat fast food.
Shit was normal to us.
Yeah. It's something you adapt. This is my normal. We waking up tired is normal. Headaches are normal. Pissing highlighter yellow without taking vitamins is normal.
Because you don't know no different.
You don't know how it is to feel good. You don't know how it is to experience life until you put in the work like how we have done. And now I'm over here telling people, like, look it, I get you're at where you're at right now, but that is not life. Like, you could lie to yourself and say that you're happy, but we're not happy.
The fact you guys have done it together, obviously, regardless of who started before, who together you are now on this transformation. And one of the things that I applaud is you have documented this from day one.
Day one. And I wasn't going to.
How crazy is that? Because myself and Tyus, my producer, were talking about this prior to going on air. The fact that you had a camera in front of you and you knew that this was your starting point. You already said yourself, in my eyes, that I am going to change and the world is going to see this transformation one day.
It's last time I'm ever going to look like this. Last time I'm ever going to feel like this.
Isn't, bro.
And I didn't want to. I started off on YouTube years ago, and I would a car channel. I have a Camaro. It's like a full race car. I don't even touch that thing. It's at home. It's in my garage. That was the biggest, most expensive Band-Aid I've ever had. God damn. But it's one of those things that's not who I really wanted to be. It was just like, I'd rather be the fat guy with a fast car, a loud car, than just be the fat guy. Mm-hmm. So I was doing YouTube and stuff like that. And then when I got into the weight loss part, everyone's like, you need to post this. Like, why stop now when you already have? I was like, it's embarrassing. Like people didn't realize I was fat because I had the Camaro. Oh, he's not fat. He just has a Camaro. But my pride and my ego was so high because I was so terrified. I've always been an outgoing person, but I was terrified of the judgment. Mm-hmm. I was terrified. Like, I was tired of people making fun of me. Right, so I stopped doing YouTube for a while before my weight loss journey because people would always talk about my weight, and before that's how I knew I was getting to a bad place because I was always so confident, and after a while it started hurting more and more because I kept believing it too because it's true. Let's be honest, the thing that hurts you the most is most likely true, and yeah, so I was just becoming a person who I don't want to be, and I was just terrified of posting it. But I was like, I went on TikTok. It was during COVID 2020, or maybe a little before that, actually, maybe late 2019. And I posted a video. My phone was at 100% when I went to sleep. Woke up, my phone was dead. It was vibrating all night, I guess. I didn't hear it. So I woke up. That video had like over 100,000 views the next day. And then I had 100,000 followers also. So actually, no, I had way more than 100,000 views. I had 3 million views when I woke up the next day. And I was like, my buddy Daniel called me, Francine. What's going on? My phone wouldn't turn on because I didn't turn off notifications because I didn't expect to get a whole, maybe a couple comments, whatever it is. And I was like, and I looked at my girlfriend. I was like, this is what I get known for. I was like, I've raced Camaros, street racing, all this crazy crap, and this is what I'm known for. But did I know it was the best thing I ever could have did for my life? So much. There's a lot of hateful comments, and they feed me too. Thank you, everyone, for those. But so much positive too, because this is the time where we're locked down. People are at home. People have to realize they have to be with themselves now. Mm. People are gaining some weight from the COVID-20, right? And I just kept documenting, man. I kept sharing everything. And the thing that I've learned the most is like being who you are will allow you to really resonate with people as long as you don't change up for it. I'm just myself, man. Mm. I have a lot of things. I share my emotions. I just cried twice already. Yeah, I cried three times. Thanks for counting. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, before I would be so embarrassed, right? I would like maybe say, can we cut that out? Mm. But like, I realized, man, we all have stories, man. We all have pain. We all have traumas. But at the end of the day, it's those that really decide to work on it and take action and try to correct those, you're going to be able to really experience happiness. You know what I mean? And you're going to be able really to touch someone. You don't have to have the big following. You don't have to have a YouTube channel, a podcast, whatever it is to help someone. By us just changing ourselves, we could actually help our brothers, our sisters. Our kids aren't going to be overweight. Both of our families are overweight. We're breaking that gap. We are breaking that. Our kids are not going to be overweight. So that means their kids aren't going to be overweight. And because that means the next 10 years, 20 or whatever it is, the Lopez and Vizcaras will not be overweight family. They may be in shape. You know what I mean? And because we started that. We worked on ourselves. The only way to lead is by example.
And by the front. From the front.
Yeah, from the front.
You mentioned social media, and there's social media pros and social media cons. How were you able to navigate through some of these hurtful comments that you mentioned?
I've learned that everything is positive. If you call me fat, I'm going to turn that into positivity because I'm going to work my ass off in that gym. You say I look good, that makes me feel good. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to keep coming better, right? I want to keep bringing knowledge to you. You know, what I've learned, though, the biggest thing I've learned is that no one that is doing better than you, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, is going to hate on you. You've never left a hateful comment on my post. You've seen my post before. Andy's never done it. Plenty of other people that follow me have never done it. And those are the people who I aspire to be like. So if you guys aren't saying that, then why am I going to pay attention to someone that doesn't have their shit together?
It truly blows my mind when somebody goes out of their way to leave a comment on somebody's page who clearly is trying to better their life.
That was me, though. My Instagram, I used to always talk about people. I used to comment on their cars and say, I got V6 or whack and make fun of people and talk about when I see transformation. I said, oh, you had surgery. Oh, that must be nice to have rich parents. Like there's comments that are floating out there that I'm surprised haven't came up from the surface.
So that was you.
That was me. I was a hater because I was unhappy with myself. So when you're unhappy with yourself, what do they say? Misery loves company.
Yeah, man.
So I only had negative shit to say because I felt negatively about myself. So now how I look at it is I feel good. I have nothing but good to say about anyone. Whether they like me, love me, hate me, wish death on me, whatever it is, I like them. I want them to win.
right? Because at the end of the day, I'm happy with who Anthony Lopez is. I'm blessed with this lifestyle that I've created for myself. I'm blessed that I'm still here today. I'm blessed for all the trials and tribulations I've been through. I'm blessed because I went through all that. So I have no hate on anybody. I don't have time to hate anyone. If you don't hate, if you hate me, that's completely fine. I don't have a space in my heart to do it because I need to keep pouring into myself to help pour into other people. So when I see a hateful comment, if it's a good one, I'll like it. I'll pin it sometimes. The couple ones I got, but the best one I get is, man, this guy looks like melted ice cream.
Oh my gosh.
I thought it was hilarious. I pinned it. I was like, bro, that's actually funny. That's the first time I heard it. Now when I hear it, it's okay. All right, I need something new now.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's, I'm okay. I was a hater too. I was unhappy with myself where I had to bring negative energy to other people. So I get where you're coming from. Hopefully you work on yourself because I was once there.
And one of the things that you've done, you own what you look like right now. And you've been quoted in some of the things that I followed and watched prior to coming on this podcast, that you won't be having any of your loose skin cut until you hit a benchmark. And
yeah.
Why is that? And why is it that you have truly embraced this look?
Because we all do a little bit of work and then we want all the result. I wasn't done, but yes, I've lost 100 pounds. Yes, I lost 200. Yes, I lost 300, but I still didn't have the body that I wanted. So why am I going to treat myself? Why am I going to lose 10 pounds and then go have fast food at the end of the week? And I feel like that's what we do as a society. We do a little bit of work and then we go out there and celebrate and then we end up fucking it up. And that's not what I wanted to do. So if I was going to do this weight loss journey, I was going to show people what's possible. I was going to do it the right way. I was going to keep growing and growing and growing and building myself and becoming better. So thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you.
And it's one of those things where it's like people wanted me to get it so much because that's what a normal person would do. They lose 100, 200 pounds and then have the surgery. And then they have the skin removal surgery. I wasn't done. I wanted to help more people. I wanted to build a better physique. I want to do this. But as I'm talking about this, I didn't know what it was I was looking at. I already hit a number goal, 260 pounds. I got to 258 pounds. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I knew God would have talked to me. He would let me know. And I got that call. I got that conversation when I was on stage.
Wow.
As soon as I got off stage, I went through my moment and something just in my head is like, it's time for surgery. It's time for surgery. Like, I'm ready now. Like, I've done what I needed to do with the skin. I've proven to not only myself, but other people, it doesn't matter what the hell they say about you. It doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter how much you messed up. It doesn't matter. It's not the situation. It's how you handle it. It is your choice to build yourself to be better or remain to stay the same. And when I got off stage, I was on cloud nine. I told you, I had to take it in for 20 minutes. They were looking for me. I was hiding from everyone. Don't talk to me. Let me take it in. And that's when I was ready. So I'll be getting skin removal surgery this year. Now it's 2024, right? Yeah, it is. I'll be getting skin removal surgery this year because I felt like I've done everything I needed to do for Anthony Lopez. Not for my social media, not for my family, not for my client, for Anthony Lopez. I feel like I'm ready for the next step now. I feel that now I'm ready to document every single thing from being over 600 pounds to now removing the skin. And then I plan on stepping on stage 2025 or 2026 again with no loose skin.
So you're going to go back to this?
I got
to
do. I didn't place at all. I don't mind losing, but I don't like losing.
I'm going to correct you right there. Regardless, that when you've come down from 600 pounds, placing is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Losing, you got to get rid of that fucking word.
Right.
I'll tell you this,
right,
from somebody who's been on the biggest stage in his life, that there was no such thing as losing what you've done. You've already won, mate. The fact that you stepped that, put your toe on stage, I say it again, everybody thinks they're a bodybuilder, but they're not until they stepped on stage. Like me calling myself, I shoot a couple of hoops, oh man, I'd be in there, whatever, NBA. I'm not a basketball player, but you are now a bodybuilder.
That's crazy here. From you.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Well, I'm straight up. You are now a bodybuilder. You can put that feather in your hat too, along with the journey that you both have gone through. But you talked about this twice now, and I just want to speak about this before we land the plane on the podcast. Backstage, you said you had a moment, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
What was going through your mind there? And what were you talking to yourself about?
Everything. I was pacing back and forth. I was talking to myself like I was like telling like I was talking to my grandpa. Right then the tears came out. You see how that goes. And then I was just like, everything I've been through, I lost. My dad was murdered. I was like, my family, I had a client drive 5 hours to come to the show. My girlfriend was here. She's lost. I was just, as much as I was like worked up, I was so grateful because I was here. I stayed here. I put in the work. I kept stuck to what I wanted to do. I didn't give up on myself. I didn't take myself out. Like I was just so grateful and so much emotion to like chills, shaking, tears, nervous, everything, where I was just on cloud nine, and just there's no better feeling than that because I felt successful.
We're going to pop up the video of you on stage.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Playing?
I don't think that's a video. I have the video, actually. I thought I sent it to you. My fault. There, look at that guy. The titty lift right there. The titty lift to the abs right
Hey,
there,
we got
to
change that verbiage, too.
I know. I love it. Oh, chest.
Chest, no. You're a bodybuilder, bro.
Okay, sorry. Chest.
There's no man boobs. There's no tits. There's none of that shit.
I'm learning the lingo.
I'm going to get on his ass about this stuff.
I'm learning the lingo now.
You and no bodybuilder, that is your chest.
Okay.
Okay? And them things under your chest are called fucking abs, man.
Let's go.
Which are made in the kitchen.
Yes.
You can train your ass off to get them, but if you haven't dieted, they're not going to be there. That is respect, my man.
That is insane. You know what I mean? And like I said, I took all that in. I took it all in, and I knew that I officially, not saying I haven't felt proud of myself before, but it's like a different, it was the next chapter of proud, right? How we're becoming the next version of ourselves. That's my grandpa right there. I'm holding my grandpa, right? And I actually got heavier than that photo. So that was when he passed away. I was at my grandma's house having McDonald's every single day for 6-7 months straight, every day.
How many McDonald's do you have going into the right photo? How many McDonald's do you touch going into that?
None.
Yeah, I knew that answer before I asked.
None.
But that's the lifetime change, and that's the mental change you have gone through now in that process of 5 years. That is a different human being.
Yeah.
Could you probably fit yourself in both pant legs?
There's a photo. I don't. I should have sent you that. I have my dirt bike pants. You know what? While I'm talking right now, I'm going to send you this so you can pop it up. So this right here is my dirt bike pants. So I'm going to show you a photo. I'm just going to screenshot it from my Instagram because it's going to be a lot easier to get it over to you than find the actual photo. But this is what I used to be. Is your airdrop still on?
Let me see. We'll soon see.
All right.
Cool. Tyus, anything you want to add to this? What a great transformation from both these guys. I do want to pop up a photo.
I just airdropped right there. Perfect. So that's my dirt bike pants. I take it back. Oh. Those were my quad pants.
There we go. I'll see if I can.
So if you see in the middle, there's different material. My mom, shout out to my mom.
Yeah.
She made sure that her son wasn't going to be looking different. So they had to stitch all that is different material that we had to do so I could fit in those bad boys right there. So you could see. I was shocked. We saved all this stuff. She's always.
You should.
She believed in me.
I wish you brought this in, actually. I would have held it up.
Next time, I got you.
I see you in the drawing is late now, so you ain't escaping me, both of you guys.
No, we're not done. And like that stuff that I remember, like it's just like that 20 minutes felt like 20 years.
Mm.
And I was on cloud nine and I was just happy. I was just proud of myself. I was happy I was here. I was grateful for the opportunity I have. Like I get to help people change their life around. I get to show people with the mistakes that I've made with my body, with my loose skin, that it's possible to change your life around. Mm. Right? It's hard, but it's the best thing to do.
So let's talk about that. You have, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, you have a incredible clientele. A lot of people who are on that transformation themselves that can look at you, both you guys, and say, there's no better person to follow. There's no better coach to hire than yourself because you are a product of what you've done and what you achieved. So let's talk about your clientele and what that means to you.
Everything. We were talking the other day and we got so many text messages from our clients on New Year's and talking about how life-changing working with me is. And let me just say, I'm not sitting here, my program's not going to change your life if you don't work, right? You're not going to change your life if you don't work, right? But it's so good to know that we're doing the right thing, right? And I know that I feel good when I get paid. I'm not the scumbag coach who sends you a cliche workout plan and meal plan and says, I'm going to change your life around. No, I have Zoom calls with my clients every week. I probably have about 10, 15 text messages right now to get back to. I've had clients call me crying in a fast food line, not understanding why they do this to themselves. I talk to them. I've had a couple calls, one call particularly that really broke me down, that he was ready to take himself. Mm-hmm. And the only person, he's only been on my program for about a month. The only person he thought he could talk to at that time was me. Not his friends, not his family. Like, you understand how
that's powerful.
That's powerful, right? And I know that I do this the right way. And all those transformation I post and all those everything I talk about, I know that I'm doing it. I'm playing the long-term game. I'm losing out on a lot of money, 100%. But at least I know I'm doing this right now because I want to focus on a long-term game. I want to be the person that I needed when I started. I don't want to be the person that throws all the supplements down your throat and the fat burners and the teas and crap like that. I want to help mentally.
You want to really help.
Really help. Not just this bullshit.
Psychologically.
Yeah. It's just, that's why I'm going. So I have ADHD and I'm dyslexic. I'm going to
school. You and I both.
That's it. And I'm finishing up my life coaching
classes, because this is a life change, and it's not just a physical, it's not just eating, it's a mental game. Understanding that like these are habits we've built over our course of our life, but we're not stuck with those habits. We just need to work on changing them. And that's what even Francine had to go through, right? She thought that literally I was right in front of her, and she thought the only thing she reason why she thought I was losing weight is because that surgery. And she had to figure out she was wrong.
I'm sure like, there's a lot of people watching this podcast that'll say the same thing about you.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Oh, it was only surgery. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and do what I did.
That's the mentality I had going in. I'm like, oh, it's easy way out. Let's do it.
And she started. So she thought that was just a surgery for me. I was like, do you don't see me go to the gym 5-6 days a week and do what I need to do? But at the end of the day, she had to figure that out. And I'm glad that happened with her, because guess what? Now that's another experience of weight loss we get to talk about. And that's another mindset, another insight on the surgery and stuff like that. But I'll tell you right now, there's nothing out there that doesn't work for yourself. The surgery, the fat burner pills, the Ozempic, all that crap, it's going to be hard work no matter what. Unless you're going to get out and go and get the fat sucked out of your stomach every couple months, you're still going to be overweight, because in a couple months you're going to gain the weight back because you didn't build the old type of, you might put on more, yeah, because you didn't know how to break the bad habits. Mm-hmm. You need to learn how to break your bad habits, replace them with better habits. There's no easy way out. There's no cheating the system. It's irrelevant what you think. It's irrelevant how you feel about the surgery. It's irrelevant how you lost the weight. It's all hard work no matter what. And if you think it's easy because you got the surgery, then go do what I did and say it was easy.
Yeah. And also, I should have actually prefaced this in the beginning of the podcast. One of the reasons why I love weight transformations, because they're life transformations. Mm-hmm. Bodybuilders, that's a commitment. You're going in with an end goal of winning something. Mm-hmm. This is truly changing your life, truly saving your life. I helped a friend out when I was in the equivalent of high school. Mm-hmm. He was over 300 pounds, and he got that size through, again, parents, uneducated, just feeding him whatever he wanted, when he wanted. It was easier to give him kind of candy and, again, crap.
Yeah.
One, it was cheaper, and plus, it was just easy to access. And indulgence is such an easy thing for us now in life. Yeah. Everything is accessible. And for him back then, he got big fast. He used to play rugby, stopped playing rugby, and then gained that weight fast because he was burning a lot of them calories up whilst playing on the rugby field. Got big, and for whatever reason, he came to me. I was like the Jack the Lad. Just to preface this too, I was very well liked in school. I hated with a passion bullies. I was a bully hunter.
Let's go.
You fucked around with people like that, and I disliked you. And this kid used to get a lot of bullying for unnecessary reasons. Mm-hmm. So I helped him change his life, and he got down. He lost 100 pounds. Now, this is in high school too. Again, we were doing it with very little. My knowledge came from Flex magazine back then. And whatever I found out, no internet. It was just through books. And I helped him change his life, his eating habits. He lost a significant amount of weight. And then this kid became the man. You see him out and about. He always had this charm and everything else, but then it was a front. So how you were talking about, he always had this confidence around everybody.
Always.
But then his true confidence came out when he lost that weight, to the extent of him being like a ladies guy. Honestly, he lost so much weight that he went the complete opposite. But I always remember him being the biggest and unpopular in a sense, but then becoming very popular when he left school, because he felt like he reinvented himself to a new audience that really didn't know him from his past.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And and still in this day now, he's doing very well in business. He's changed his mindset changed through sticking to a process, being committed to the craft, and all the daily days, the first steps forward.
Yep.
Are all the things that he then integrated into his business. And it's amazing, as I've mentioned many times on this podcast, what bodybuilding taught me in the journey of me going through all these different preps. Because, again, there's every excuse to cheat because nobody's going to see you.
Nope.
When the doors are closed and the lights are off, you can snack away at the fridge. Same for you guys. But the results are seen then on stage. So that's the difference between first and last place. I can tell you straight up, looking in your eyes, I never missed the cardio session, never missed any meal. I never give myself any extra portions that I should have done. My coach gave me a plan and I stuck to it to the fullest. And with yourselves, obviously, you talk very openly about the lifestyle change. You're not doing a bodybuilding prep. Yes, you've done one. But in general, you guys are talking about lifestyle change and also failure, which I commend you both, because I talk about failure too. Failure is just as much of a badge of honor for me as the accolades of the trophies I have on the wall. Because had I not failed, I'm not talking cheating or anything like that. I'm talking about failure, going through adversity and coming through the other side. I'm like, I'm so glad that happened now looking back, because had it not been, I wouldn't have used this for fuel for my fire. Exactly. And you have these stories. And again, I commend you guys about talking about this on your podcast, which give a shout out to your podcast.
It's a Modify Your Life podcast. It's one thing. It's like, I was thinking while you're talking right now, and the only way it's not bad if you fail, because that means you tried. You know what I mean? If you never tried, then you never experienced failure, but that means you never tried something. And that's not a life you want to live. So you're not really living it. You know what I mean? And so we talk about that stuff because this is real life. This is what we do. This is real life. This stuff is difficult. It's hard. We had to retrain our mindset. We had to retrain, rebuild our relationship, right? Realize that food wasn't our only reason what we had in common, only thing we had in common. And anyone out there listening, you could do the same thing.
And this is a photo of you guys together.
Yeah,
that's water hefty, transformation.
That's a hefty people right there. Yeah,
I mean, incredible. I'm looking at both of you guys now, and it's who are you now?
Yeah, and it's a blessing, man. It's a blessing, and my goal is to continue to pour into people, continue to pour into myself, so I could pour into people and share my mistakes, but show that it's correctable. You know what I mean? And I love doing stuff like this. I never thought in my life, if you would have asked me 4 or 5 years ago if I was going to motivate people for weight loss, I think it's safe to say anyone would have laughed, right? Let alone be a personal trainer, online coach, or step on stage of a bodybuilding show, right? But life is crazy when you decide to put in the work.
Mm-hmm. In landing this plane, I have one last question, and you both can answer it if you like, but this has come from my fans.
Uh-huh.
And this is, for someone starting at the beginning of their transformation journey, what advice would you give them to find and sustain the motivation needed for long-term success?
Stop looking for motivation, right? And just get out there and find something that's going to be sustainable for you, right? So right now we're in a time where you're going to hear new year, new me. You're going to hear, take this, let me lose 10 pounds in 10 days, blah, 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 this, blah. I'll tell you right now, you want to lose 10 pounds in 10 days, it's not that difficult. If you're 400, 500, 600 pounds, that's definitely not hard. That's going to be a lot of water weight you're going to lose. Find something that's going to be sustainable for you. Learn nutrition. Learn how to track your food. Learn why protein's important. Learn why carbs are important. Learn why fats are important. Stop being so scared of this stuff and learn it. And how I explain it like this. When you started your job, the first job you've ever had, you probably sucked. You probably got rid up for doing something. Your boss probably got pissed off. You maybe broke something. You maybe lost something or didn't write to put a code in right, whatever it is. But what did you do? You learned that job. You learned from the mistake. You kept going. And now if your boss hires someone new, they're going to say, hey, can you show this person how to do this job? Because you're really good at it now, right? Because you learned it. Why? Because there's a financial backing to that. You get paid every single week. So treat this, your weight loss, the same way. You're going to suck right away. You're going to get way too much information. You're going to want the easy way out. You're going to try to find the good way, lose weight fast type crap. Stop doing that. We keep repeating ourselves. Stop saying new year's new me and focus on new year, same you, better habits. Find something sustainable, something you can do consistent day in and day out. And what I mean that is like working yourself day and not going to the gym 7 days a week, right? I don't believe you have to do that. And then don't expect instant gratification. Just let it happen. You don't wake up every single day like, oh shit, today's the second. I gained 3 pounds this week. Hell yeah, let's go. No, you don't do that. So why are you going to deal with your weight loss? If you're putting the work, the scale's going to show you. And sometimes the scale's not going to show you depending on where your size of weight is, but you keep working. And when you don't see change, keep working. Figure out what you need to do better. Stop looking for instant gratification. You didn't gain the weight overnight. So why are you going to lose it overnight? And stop looking for motivation, because when you put in the work, the motivation will come from the hard work. When you get on the scale, that's motivation to work again harder. And you work again next week, I'll do it again. But then once you stop losing motivation, it's most likely because you're slowing down somewhere.
Anything to add?
For me, it would be not to overcomplicate it and work with what you got. So if right now you're eating out every single meal, it's going to be unrealistic to say, I'm going to cook every single meal at home. Start little. Or maybe you aren't that great of a cook, grab a rotisserie chicken and mix it up with things that you do enjoy. I don't believe in like treating yourself, because we're not dogs, like with food, but incorporating as much protein as you can, even if it is like eating out, even if it means throwing another patty of something. But if we're going to throw in another patty of like for the burger, that's already has a lot of fat. So maybe we don't do the fries, or we do a size smaller. So it's little things. It's not going to get you to lose 100 pounds right now, but it's little things that once you can master that, then you can be, okay, now let me try to cook at least my breakfast. To then, okay, now I'm going to cook both breakfast and lunch. and to the point where you're cooking all your meals. So but it doesn't happen immediately.
You're talking about nothing. A lot of people will go drastic.
0 to 100.
Like January, as you mentioned, New Year's resolutions. They will start their New Year's and be like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to change all this. I'm going to start running. And then by January 3rd, they're like, fuck this.
Because they didn't prep themselves.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, and it's overwhelming. And they're just like, wow. And it's starting. You guys are basically saying, start small, make changes to your life. It doesn't have to be drastic. But over a long period of time, start then cutting more and more off out because you're going to see change. And you're going to feel the change.
Yeah. How are you going to change your life around lose weight and stop smoking cigarettes and all this stuff when your room's dirty, when your car's dirty, when you don't wipe your ass correctly, right? When you don't have no type of discipline to things you've already need to do in front of you, brush your teeth every single day, being a good dad, being a good mother. How are you going to change everything else around when you can't do the things that are right in front of you, when you step over trash to throw other trash away? So what it is that you already have 10 things you need to accomplish, and now January 1st, you're going to add 10 more things. You're never going to make it that way. Get your shit together that's in front of you right now. Go put that light in that restroom. Everyone has that light in that restroom, that beeping little thing. Get that together. Get your garage situated. Clean your car up. Right? Put your clothes away. Pick up the trash from the floor. Whatever it might is, whatever your crutches are. And then you start adding to that because you need to start building discipline at home so you are building outside. Interesting. And without discipline, you'll never have success. I'm sorry.
In ending this podcast, is there anything that you want to talk about, promote? And see, I want to give a shout out to our mutual friends, Auntie Frizella, who was one of your sponsors.
Yeah, man. Honestly, just first foreman Andy. Andy was the first one that gave me my shot, man. And that's the only brand I work with. I've never changed up. I've turned down a lot of different things. And, you know, Heavy to Modify brand will always only work with people that fall in line with our goals and our morals and never become like the scumbags that we see out there. And that's it, man. Shout out to everyone that's supporting me, everyone that's listening to the podcast. Thank you to you, man. This is like a dream come true to the point where I didn't have it on a goal list. You know what I mean? But at the same time, also didn't have Andy. I didn't have Andy on a goal list. I didn't have, it's a similar story how me and him have met. And anyone out there that's struggling mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, take the baby steps to get your life together and your life is going to change. Your life is only going to change though when you change it.
Oh, man, I think I've said it many times already on this podcast, but I'm blown away by the transformation, as are probably many watching this podcast. What you've done has motivated me, both of you guys. And as my wife said to you earlier, it's incredible to see the starting point and how you both have documented this. Yeah. And the mindset in knowing that this was going to be a journey, it was going to be captured, and you were going to talk about it through all its ups and downs. So every viewer out there, even if they're just finding out about you, get deep into the Instagram, get into the podcast. You'll get to see a lot of things where you're talking about portion control. There's a lot of tips. There's a lot of
incredible side-by-sides
and a lot of great information. And YouTube is?
Everything is Heavy to Modify. So Heavy and then T-O and then Modified. Not the number two. Wow. But everything is Heavy to Modify to all platforms. And we're just looking to help, looking to teach, just becoming the, we want to become the friends that you need your circle to win.
I love it.
You know what I mean? Portion control is everything.
I know that you guys are fellow Vegas residents, which obviously I just found out about.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing the further chapters that are going to be now done and look forward to seeing you both here at the Dragon's Lair. So for me to you, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a great podcast, one that, as I said, has motivated me. So this is Straight Out the Lair. We are out.